Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, October 21st, 2009. This is the 294th day of 2009. There's 71 days left in this year. On this day in history, October 21st, 1879, Thomas Edison invented a workable electric light at his laboratory in New Jersey. On this day in 1797, the U.S. Navy frigate Constitution, also known as Old Ironsides, was launched in Boston Harbor. In 1805, a British fleet commanded by Admiral Horatio Nelson defeated a French and Spanish fleet in the Battle of Trafalgar. Nelson was killed in the battle. In 1917, American soldiers first saw action in World War I on the front lines in France. And in 1967, tens of thousands of Vietnam War protesters marched in Washington, D.C. And those are some of the events that have happened on this day in history. The weather for Wausau today, periods of rain, high near 47. Tonight, periods of rain, mainly before 1 a.m., low around 37. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 46. Currently in Wausau, overcast skies, 42 degrees at 9 o'clock. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, and on Wednesdays, we break away from our normal study, which right now is the book of Romans. Currently, we are studying the book of Romans. We'll get back to that tomorrow. But because it's Wednesdays, we do a study in the book of Psalms, and we come today to Psalm 52. And we will begin after I say that the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And Father, I pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Follow along if you can in your own copy of Scripture. I think you will be blessed even more if you can look at the words of the Bible as we read it together and study it together, beginning in Psalm 52, verse 1. David wrote this psalm, and he says, "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God?" We're not supposed to be bad. We're supposed to be good, because God is good. That's why it's all the more foolish and depraved to boast about some evil that we have done, which is what some people do. You've probably heard people boast of their sin. And some people really think they're cool because they've done some sinful thing, and they brag about it. He says, "Why do you boast of evil? You're a disgrace in the eyes of God," verse 1 says. And verse 2, "Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit." We ought to stay away from using words that hurt others. If you've ever been hurt by what someone has said, then you know why God wants us to stay away from those kind of words, because it is painful. 3, "You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth." And that pretty much describes the human race, I'm afraid. People are born with a sin nature, a natural bent in the direction of sin. That's why people love evil more than they love good, especially when they can get ahead by doing something wrong. Many a person's morals are compromised for personal gain. That's why the jails and the prisons are so full. Verse 4. You love every harmful word, O you deceitful tongue. Many people enjoy slander. I guess it makes them feel better about themselves when they slander somebody else. But anyone who would purposely use words that hurts, that hurt another person, has a wicked streak in them and needs to repent. Verse 5, surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent, and he will uproot you from the land of the living. And he's speaking to those who do harmful things to others and speak hurtful words. So what he is saying here in verse 5 is that those who like to destroy others with words can count on God destroying them as well if they don't repent. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that our God is a decent person. He doesn't like it when people say hurtful things to others. I'm glad we have a God like that. He's a good God. 6. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, stop there for a second. It says the righteous will see and fear. See what? Well, it's talking about what verse 5 referred to. God's people will see the punishment of the bad. And they will be amazed at the display of God's wrath. They will be in awe of it. And on that day they will know that God meant business when he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. 7. Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. In other words, God's people are going to say, look what happens to those who don't respect God. God's people on Judgment Day are going to see the punishment of the wicked, and they're going to say, look what happens to those who don't respect God, who go on living in sin and never repent. Boy, if there's any doubt in anyone's mind that living for Jesus is the way to go, those doubts should vanish after reading this verse. 8. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. If someone wants the mercy of God enough to repent, then they can trust in God's mercy because he's going to give it to them. Those who love their sin too much to quit, those who love their sin more than they want mercy, are probably going to cry out for mercy on Judgment Day. The Bible seems to suggest that they will, but God will ignore them because it's going to be too late. It has to be done now. Verse 9, I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. We're going to praise God. We're going to praise God for his punishment of the wicked. And we're going to praise him and be forever grateful that as Christians, we got his mercy instead of his wrath, like the others who didn't want his mercy. See, God will give mercy to anybody who wants it, if they repent and come to him through Jesus Christ. Let's go into Psalm 53. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their ways are vile. There's no one who does good. Anyone who says there is no God, according to God himself, God says, anyone who says that I'm not real is out of their mind, foolish and totally depraved, corrupt. You know why he says that? Because only those who don't want to believe there is a God believe that there is no God. That's the truth. Because all the evidence says that there is a God. 2. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. And so God examined the human race to see if anyone, on their own, he examines the human race to see if anybody on their own, decided that they should worship and serve the Creator. And what did he find? Verse 3. Everyone has turned away. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. God says there's no one who does good, not even one. You say, well, I do good things. I know people who do good things. Well, by God's standards, which are really only the standards that count, the entire human race is totally depraved. And it's true that some people do good things, and it's true that some people are worse than others by man's measurement. But the most important thing is God's measurement, and he gives everybody an F. And if we don't get a passing grade, if we all get an F on our report card from God, then it doesn't matter if somebody scores a 0. Or a 5, or a 20, or a 50, it just doesn't matter. We still flunk and can't advance to heaven. That's why the Savior Jesus Christ came. He's our only hope. 4. Will the evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread, and who do not call on God. God is saying, you wicked people, you who do bad things to me with your sin, and you who do bad things to those who belong to me, are you out of your mind? In other words, don't you know what you're doing to yourself? Will you never learn? And then verse 5, there they were, overwhelmed in dread, where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. The cocky, impenitent sinners of the world are doomed. Anyone who rejects God as revealed in Holy Scripture, anybody who rejects God's Son is doomed to an eternity of horrors which cannot be imagined, and they are rejected because they are despised by God. And why is that? Because they reject God. God just gives them the desires of their heart. Verse 6, oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. God's Old Testament people were chastened. They were chastened because of their sin, but they were not forsaken because of their sin. God will give Christians a good whooping if they rebel against him, but he doesn't kick us out of his family. God whips us to make us better. And then when we're better, we have more joy. So God's discipline doesn't feel like a favor from him any more than when you spank a child or discipline a child in some way. That doesn't seem like a favor to them, but that's what it is. Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. In other words, save me and defend me. Defend me. Vindicate me. God is going to set the record straight on Judgment Day, if not before. You know, God's righteous people aren't always in the most comfortable situations in this life or the most successful circumstances in this world. So they don't exactly look like God's favorite people. Not if circumstances are used as a measuring line. But God is going to square things on Judgment Day. And so everyone will say, I guess following Jesus was the best way to go after all. It doesn't always appear to be that way now, but in the end, it certainly will. And so he says, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." God doesn't just hear. He actually listens to what we Christians say to him. And there's a difference, isn't there? We can hear without listening. Do you ever talk to somebody who's texting? I can't tell you how many times that's happened. You're talking to somebody who's texting, and you talk about something for a minute, and there's dead silence, and all of a sudden they say, "What? Did you say something?" They're hearing, but they're not listening. God hears and he listens. We can hear someone speak, and when they're finished, not know anything that they said because we didn't listen, but God hears and he listens to our prayers. 3, strangers are attacking me. Ruthless men seek my life. Men without regard for God. That's the problem. He's having trouble with wicked people hurting him because they have no regard for God. The fundamental problem with people who are mean to others is that they don't care about God. You know, I get so sick and tired of the psychological reasons and excuses people give for those who do bad things to others. You know, it's just all a bunch of useless verbiage. Sounds intellectual, but it's a waste of words. Bottom line is this: if they cared about God, if they had a solid relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then they wouldn't be mean to other people. It's 9:15, time for our break. Please listen to this. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
Galileo may not have been that far ahead in his day. The details coming up on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
One doesn't have to study the history of science very long before one learns of the Roman Catholic Church's persecution of Galileo when he publicly declared that the Earth revolves about the Sun. However, the Church of that day was not as ignorant as we have been led to believe. In fact, many churches of Rome in Galileo's day had long had their own astronomical observatories. On the practical side, the Church of Rome had a great need to keep its liturgical calendar accurate, since many important church festivals, like Easter, depend upon the phases of the moon. It is not generally known that the circular pavement in front of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome is actually the largest sundial in the world. The Church of St. Mary's of the Angels and Martyrs has an intricate brass sundial 144 feet long that tells both the date and the time. The roof of St. Ignatius in Rome houses the observatory where Angelo Secchi, the father of astrophysics, discovered a dark spot on Mars called Syrtis Major. Galileo's final words of protest when placed under house arrest were, "And it still moves," are inscribed on the sundial at Collegio Romano, where the Pope asked his astronomers to confirm Galileo's conclusions. Despite some errors in judgment, which are common to man, Christians have always valued accurate knowledge about God's creation.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com. Or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
With light rain, fog, and mist, it's 42 degrees in Wausau at 9:17. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. It's Wednesday, so we are studying in the book of Psalms. Tomorrow we will get back to the book of Romans verse by verse. We come now in our study to Psalm 53, verse 4, which reads, "Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me." And he has that right. God is the one who sustains us. If God didn't sustain us, our heart would not deliver another beat. That's how much we owe God. If God didn't sustain us, you know what would happen? We would all be dead and in hell because there wouldn't have been a Jesus sent to die for our sins. Verse 5, "Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them." You know, it sounds vindictive, but I will tell you this. He is praying for God's justice, and it's always best to let God handle those who say bad things about us. Often we try to defend ourselves, and we just make matters worse. Just trust God. Verse 6, I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. God wants our offerings to be free will. In other words, He wants us to give because we like Him and because He is good. Verse 7, for He has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. And that will be the case for all of God's people someday. He will deliver us from all of our troubles. Troubles will be a thing of the past. Things are going to be so good that we may even forget the definition of the word trouble. If we hear it, we'll have to find a dictionary up in heaven and look it up. Psalm 55, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. And God doesn't ignore our plea. He loves us way too much to do that. But He also loves us way too much to give us what we plead for sometimes. He says in verse 2, hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. God is sensitive to our feelings, so He knows when we're troubled. He knows when we are distraught. He's sensitive to our feelings, there's no question about that. But He's not moved by His feelings to give us something that we want if it's going to do us more harm than good. Look at verse 3. At the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. The writer is intimidated by the wicked who are out to hurt him. Verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. So he's afraid to die. And he's right with God. He knows the Lord, but he's still afraid of dying. You know why he's afraid of dying? Even though he's right with God? He's definitely right with God. This is David. David had a heart for the Lord. God even said of David, he has a heart after me. And yet David's afraid of dying. And that's because he isn't dying. You see, I'm confused. David isn't dying right now. He's just thinking about dying. And because he's thinking about dying, before he's actually dying, he's worried about it. God gives His people dying grace when they are dying, not before they are dying. God gives us the grace to handle anything that we must go through, including death, at the moment that we are facing it, not before. So, if you're a Christian, you're right with God through Jesus Christ, you're going to be okay with dying when you're dying. You may be worried about it right now. But at the moment that it's happening, you're going to be fine. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're going to be fine. In fact, you know what? It's going to be a wonderful experience. That seems strange, but it's absolute truth. Talk about worrying about nothing. That's it. Verse 5, fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. And David was a brave guy, too. He's the one that took on Goliath. Now, he was a great warrior, a great fighter. But here, man, the way he's talking, I wonder why he didn't faint. He's so shook up. Verse 6, I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm. Boy, he feels like running away, and he would if he could. He wanted to run from his problems. But since he couldn't run from his problems, he prayed to God about his problems. If God doesn't change our circumstances, then he wants us to pray to him. And he'll do something through prayer. He'll either change the circumstances through prayer, or he will change us as a result of our prayers, so that we can handle our circumstances for as long as he wants us to be in them. Verse 9. Confuse the wicked, O Lord. Confound their speech. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. What a mess. As he looks around and he sees his city and he sees his country, he sees a mess. Society is going down the drain, and you know, he just doesn't want to be around it anymore. He wishes he could run away. When society begins to lose whatever regard for God it had, it makes God's people long even more for their eternal home or for the return of Christ, or certainly that God would do something to change it, because it's hard to see. And if you have any questions for me or any comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or if you would rather email me, you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. Your questions, your comments are greatly appreciated. They would be a great encouragement to me. Or if you don't like what I say, that's okay too. I'll consider what you say. And if you have any questions, I'll attempt to answer them too. Again, that email address is vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want more of the Word of God, you can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. And you can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries. And that website can be found at meret.org. Let me spell it. It's meret.org. Again, meret.org. It's all there for you. Study the Word of God. I would encourage you to do that. Take in as much of the Bible as you possibly can. It's the most important thing you can do. If you need somebody to speak at your church or your Bible study group, again, my address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211, or email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. My name is Michael Moret. The name of this program is Scripture Verse by Verse. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. And so until tomorrow, have a good day. So long, everyone.